Yeah, NT90, I am so glad that the church had this initiative, because, you know, we're always encouraged to read the Bible, but I think there's something special to it when we read it together. And yeah, just doing it the way we're doing it. It's been a while since I've read through the Gospels, like straight Matthew, Mark, Luke, as we have so far. And it's just interesting to see the contrasts and the various emphases that they've each given. It's just been great. So if you have been following along NT90, you know that we are at the end of Luke today. Luke, and where I'm going to be preaching from, is Luke 24, so the very last chapter. And it's always so tough, you know, choosing what to preach from, because there's a lot there. But frankly, this one wasn't so tough because this is one of my favorite stories of all time. And that's the road to Emmaus. Luke 24, 13 through 34. And normally I would read it and then make my commentary on it. But I think this is the kind of story where we'll just read it as we go and make comments as we go. So will you please pray with me? Father, we just so thank you for your Spirit, for inspiring these educated men who just formed these biographies and described Jesus' ministry in such interesting and just awe-inspiring ways. And Lord, just thank you so much for the leadership of this church, that we were able to go through these things together. And I just pray that we will continue to encourage one another through the rest of this NT90 series. Father, just thank you so much for continuing to speak to us. Please give your speaker the words to say, and please give us all ears to hear what the Spirit has to say through your word this morning. It's in the Lord's name that we pray. Amen. For hundreds and hundreds, going on thousands of years, for generation after generation, Israel, God's covenant people, were told that through their father Abraham's offspring, all the nations of the world would be blessed. God would raise up a prophet like Moses among them. God would put his words in his mouth, and he would tell everything that he commanded him. Then the Lord would establish the throne of his son David forever, that God would save his flock and they will no longer be plundered. He would judge between one sheep and another. He will place over them one shepherd, his servant David, and he will tend them and be their shepherd. He said, I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. Then, finally, in hopeful anticipation, after years of prophetic silence, there were rumblings. A prophet living in the wilderness in the tradition of Elijah, performing a baptism of repentance, speaking of one who would come after him, who would be the Lamb of God, the one who was going to redeem Israel. And sure enough, within a synagogue in Nazareth, a rabbi who was a carpenter's son unrolled the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he did. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, strength to the lame, healed the leper and all manner of diseases, drove out demons, brought the dead back to life. He taught like no one had done before, like one with authority. People flocked to him by the thousands, and he taught and healed. And he didn't just eat with the religious people and those with influence, he ate with tax collectors and sinners. And while teaching with unprecedented authority, he loved with dignity and respect people thought to be unworthy of such dignity and respect. All sorts of women and men became close disciples of him. In fact, a tax collector was one of his close disciples along with Jewish nationalists. Huh? Fishermen and other uneducated, certainly ones not on the rabbinic track, became his disciples. And the murmurings and rumors of a would-be Messiah grew louder and louder until he triumphantly entered Jerusalem on a colt and donkey. Is this it? Is this finally happening? Will Israel finally be redeemed? And then the answer was a firm no. He seemed to give himself up. He didn't even refute any of the charges against him. They arrested him, beat him, hung him on a cross, and he died. The two people were on an 11-kilometer journey back to Emmaus. In fact, if you were to walk from here to Encounter Central, it would be roughly the same distance. And it would be, if at a normal pace, it'd be around 2 hours. It would take you to walk from here to, well, from Jerusalem to Emmaus, but from here to Central. You know, give or take whether you're able to walk straight. You know, roads get in the way of that with cars. But, you know, there's straighter paths. But anyway. But at their current pace, it was probably a little bit longer of a journey. I don't know about you, but there are so many of us at one time or another, maybe even now, we feel like that our legs are just absolutely filled with cement. So many of us can't see beyond tomorrow. So many don't feel connected in our homes. We don't know who will be able to come into the office or to the work site tomorrow. So many are dealing with illness, isolation. What do you say to the young woman who faces physical violence from her unborn child's father if she doesn't terminate the pregnancy? What do you say to the teenager who's hooked on meth because she was beaten as a child? What do you say to the husband and father who's losing his job because his employer is looking to cut costs? Cleopas and his wife, friend, we're not entirely sure. There's guesses. We're fortunate because at least amid their despair, they had each other. They had each other to talk to. And it is so vital as we travel through this life that we share each other's burdens. You follow? It is not good for people to be alone. It was true in the beginning. It's true now. Every single one of us need at least one person we can be completely honest and vulnerable with. Do you have someone in your life that will share your burden as you share theirs? Who just allows you to unload as you share together about the important events and relationships in your life? I would submit to you that if you don't have one, find one. We all need at least one. Because so many of us are just alone. And we shouldn't be. And we can't be. It is vital in surviving this life to even living life to the full. But as vital as walking together is to truly living life, it is not enough in finding hope out of utter despair. More is required. On that day, two of them were going to a village. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus. He's asked them, "What are you talking about with each other as you're going?" And they stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one who visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And the stranger replies, "What things?" Oh, Jesus. We're not told precisely how they were kept from recognizing him, but we do know what they shared with this stranger because they didn't know who he was. They honestly shared themselves with this stranger. They shared what had happened in their lost hope and their present confusion regarding Jesus' missing body. It is not enough for us to partner together in true fellowship. That is important. That is, you know, that is a fundamental step. But we need to share ourselves with him as well. Yes, he knows us. Yes, it may seem silly to share things with someone who should already know what we're doing and what we're going through and what we're doing. But in his wisdom, he wants to hear those intimate details from us. He loves us that much. He wants us to unload our primal aches and pains with him. He wants us to trust him with our worries, our cares, our anxieties, our despair, our confusion, our wounds, our anger. Read the Psalms. They are filled with these kinds of prayers. You know, when he died on that cross, the curtain was torn from top to bottom, signifying that it was no longer required that only a few people at a certain time of year, after undergoing elaborate ceremonies, can come into the full presence of God the Father. Now, the good news is Emmanuel, God with us. And that is a tremendous gift, one that should not be taken for granted. This is why that stool where the communion was, that's why he died on that cross, to absolutely and utterly restore our relationship to the full with him. He walks with us, even when we do not recognize him. I used to pray, "Father, help me to come into your presence." And the Spirit prompted me after praying this prayer a few times, and he says, "You know I'm already with you, right? You just need to open up your eyes." And I said, "Ooh, so true." He listens to us and allows us to give him all our petitions, all our requests, all of ourselves with him. But much more than listening to us, he honestly speaks with us. Jesus responds to their lament, "How foolish you are." Don't hold anything back, Jesus. Okay. "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." For someone like me, a preacher, someone who loves the Bible, I am so jealous of these two people. It must have been one of the greatest Bible studies of all time. right? Perhaps it went a little something like this. Do you remember when Abraham was asked to sacrifice his firstborn but was stopped and a ram was sacrificed in his place? Do you remember that every Passover, you know, that meal that we just celebrated, we prepare a lamb without blemish, whose bones are not to be broken? Do you remember Psalm 22 that starts, my God, why have you forsaken me? All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Do you remember when Isaiah wrote, he was pierced for our transgressions? He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. You see, everyone thought that the Messiah would be a political Messiah. I would have thought that. How else do we make massive, wholesale societal changes? How else do we save the world? But thankfully, his ways are not our ways. That's why repentance is required to enter the kingdom of God. When we repent, we say, just as our Savior, just like our perfect high priest did, not my will, but your will be done. When we repent, we pledge your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His ways are so much better than our ways. It's why it's so vital we read the word in our prayers, with each other, in our connect groups. If you're not involved in a connect group, please be involved in one. We should not neglect the public reading of Scripture. It explains who our Father is and the pattern of his ways. His word, as it is demonstrated by the incarnate word, his Son Jesus Christ, helps us to distinguish his voice. And I would submit to you that we are so fallen, it takes a few times for us knuckleheads to get it. Because his ways seem so far removed from our ways, it's hard for us to understand. His Spirit helps us to distinguish his voice and encourage us to draw near to the Good Shepherd. He combines the greatest perspective with the greatest justice, with the greatest love. He doesn't change the world through laws, but through love. He doesn't save the world through political might, through the strong and influential, but he changes the world one heart, one gathering at a time. Mainly made up of the poor, the marginalized, the disenfranchised, the hopeless, many of whom have been discarded and disregarded as no hopers. Our Savior tells us plainly, I humbled myself, I absorbed all despair into myself for you so that you could receive my Spirit and grow and mature with dignity and respect as we encourage each and every single one toward love and good deeds. You follow? And as this Bible study is going on, greatest Bible study given, you can sense that their pace is picking up a bit. You can feel that the cement that was in their legs is starting to dissipate a bit, don't you? And as they were hearing this, they suddenly discovered that they were at their destination. They were at their house. Oh. Would you want this conversation to end? No. So, cheeky Jesus They arrive at their house, and Jesus goes, "All right, well, I guess I'll catch you later." He said, no. Come on in. Let's talk some more. Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. Oh, sisters and brothers, we are to partner together in our faith. We are to honestly speak to him and share the good, the bad, and the ugly with him. We are to listen to him as he instructs us through the word. But we are so much more blessed when we invite him into our home. There is no part of our life we should live apart from him. If his way is the best way, then his way is the best way always. Have you invited Jesus into your home? Do you regularly listen to him wherever you are? And I would submit that if there's anything that we're doing or any conversation that we're involved in, if there's anything that we're doing that we'd just rather wish that Jesus kind of leave the room for a bit, probably not a good thing. He needs to be with us all the time. All the time. In our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, wherever we are, on the bus, in our car, etc., right? Do you pray to have eyes to see and ears to hear what he is doing and what he is leading you to do? And he sat at the table with them in true fellowship, and he broke the bread, gave thanks, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. More than likely, just using a bit of my imagination, I don't think it's that much of an imagination because Luke writes so well, but I can imagine that their eyes got very big, that their jaws dropped to the floor, and their bodies became as light as they have ever experienced and as energized as they have ever experienced. And they just looked at each other like, and Jesus disappeared, and they looked at each other like, did that just happen? Did you see what I just saw? Was that who I think it was? What? I think so. Really? Hey, you remember when Mary and the others were telling us that they couldn't find the body and that he had risen, but nobody would believe them because that sounds crazy? I think they were right. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? You know, I've had my eyes opened so many times to Jesus at work. I've seen the abused, drug-addicted woman restored. I've seen the callous, heavy, booze-on-the-breath, no-hoper become a responsible husband and father who tells everyone he can about the one who saved him. I've seen restoration after restoration after restoration. I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle, even me. Why does God listen to me? Why does his spirit speak to me and patiently guide me? Why does he love me and provide me with so much? I have no further explanation besides he loves me. Period. Full stop. It has nothing to do with anything I've done, believe me. It has nothing to do with, well, I'm just so much better than everybody else, rubbish. It has to do with everything. He has made me with his image. He wants to have a relationship with me. He loves me. He has done everything to restore a relationship, to convince me of his love. And all I have to do is say, okay. That's it. You know, a gift that's given that isn't received isn't a gift, it's an imposition. If I give someone something to someone and they don't use it, it's just something that's collecting dust on their shelf and of no good. But a good gift that is truly received and used, that's a gift. Because he loves me, he gives me the opportunity to partner with others, to share myself with him, to walk with him on the road, to listen to him through his son, through his word, through his spirit. When I can invite him into my home, I can live with him and walk with him. I can't help to meet with others who know the same life-giving testimonies and who are so excited to introduce their Lord and Savior to others so many more of us, much more of us, can live, work, celebrate, and love together. Amen? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And I guarantee that the trip back to Jerusalem was much faster than the trip from Jerusalem. I don't think it even took an hour and a half. And they got back, and the 11 and the others were assembled together. It is true. The Lord has risen. If you're feeling despair, if you're feeling the cement in your legs, if you know others who are feeling the cement in their legs, please know that it is not over. There is real hope. He is the Messiah. He has redeemed Israel. He has redeemed each and every single one of us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for who you are. Thank you so much for your awesome love, your patience, your grace, for constantly explaining who you are to us, for listening to us, for knowing who we are before we say anything, but for listening to us. You are the perfect listener. And thank you so much for also being the perfect teacher, the perfect Savior, the perfect Lord. Father, thank you so much. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to mourn together well, to celebrate together well, to live life together well. And that can only be done through your Spirit, through your Son, through your Word, through you. Help us to grow daily into that who is the head, Christ Jesus. Father, thank you so much to your Son for everything that is good and hopeful and loving. Help us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ, every day. In whose name we pray. Amen.